This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM, Byte Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I discuss episode 4 of the Viceland series, Dark Side of the Ring. It focuses on one of the greatest wrestling families of all time, the Von Erichs. In a very special, extremely rare interview, WWE Hall of Famer Kevin Von Erich joins us to talk about the making of the documentary, his career, his life in Hawaii, and his son's carrying on the legacy of the Von Erich name in the world of pro wrestling. Last night was something that definitely reflected my childhood as a pro wrestling fan, and that's the Von Erichs. And the name of the episode last night was The Last of the Von Erichs. And of course, as we know, Mark, the last of the Von Erichs is Kevin Von Erich.
Man, what a great series. I mean, it's gave us something to talk about, one, but it's been very informative as far as news is concerned, and even new news, like things that we didn't know. And that's been a common thread with all four episodes that I've seen so far, is the conversation that you and I have the next day is, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's great in a lot of different ways, Mark. And you're absolutely right. You and I grew up watching the Von Erichs, especially you, being from Texas, how much the Von Erich family meant to that great state. And even a kid like me in New Jersey watching on cable TV, the Von Erichs were the begin-all, end-all of pro wrestling, you know, from 1982 to 1987. That was such a huge period for them and for world-class championship wrestling. But I think I love it even more that it's educating the new fan. And maybe there's a lot of fans out there that listen to the show that are wrestling fans that may have heard of the Von Erichs but really don't know. And again, there's so much to learn. Jim Cornette said it. You're talking about the Von Erichs about being legends, but it's also a cautionary tale as well. I thought they did a really good job last night, and I thought I knew everything about the Von Erichs, but when you watch what we saw on Viceland last night, you still learn even more.
Yeah, and that's what I was just saying. Like, you learn new stuff, and when it comes from the mouth of somebody that's experienced it, that just validates it all the more.
And I'm really looking forward to talking to Kevin Von Erich at 11 a.m., Mark, because just imagine that, man. I mean, you and I were talking about it before we hit the air. You know, at one point, you know, Kevin Von Erich, man, you know, he had five brothers, and now he has, you know, he's brotherless. You know, he's lost his mother and his father. That's expected. When you're a 61-year-old man, you know, you're most likely not going to still have your parents with you. But the fact that all his brothers are gone as well, it's such a sad, hard tale to tell. And he did it in a beautiful way last night.
You know, and the one thing that I want to ask him is, does he have nephews from his brothers? Or were they too young to have any offspring?
Well, we know Kerry Von Erich had a daughter, Lacey Von Erich, that wrestled for a while with TNA. So, I mean, but geez, like Mike and Chris Von Erich, they were so young when they took their lives. David Von Erich was so young when he lost his life. And that's the other thing, too. Like, his the first brother that he lost was Jackie. And Jackie was 6 years old at the time, and they explained that tragic accident that happened. But David Von Erich died as a pro wrestler when he was in Japan, you know, intestinal disorder and infection. But then his last three brothers, they took their own life.
Yeah. So,
you know, like, that's really hard to take. When, you know, I mean, imagine one brother taking a, you know, his last three brothers, all three took their own life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, we have to be able to get help and get counsel and ask people that are a lot wiser than we are, and not internalize so much. I tell my wife all the time, I'm going to die from something, but it won't be stress. And when you have this post-traumatic stress disorder, which is basically what I think the boys had, dealing with really stressful, high stressful situations on top of having a father who living up to the father's reputation and being in the same industry, and as well as the loss. They experienced loss. Mm-hmm. They experienced that pain and anguish. And, you know, to have a family where you say, don't talk about nothing. Like, we'll internalize it. We'll deal with everything on our own. That's hard to do for a young man. And, you know, I hope that going forward we're able to do that, not only the Von Erich family, but, you know, us, you know, and our nation, like our followers.
Mark, in 2019, when you hear some of the things that took place with the Von Erich family, you would probably recommend somebody to go see therapy, seek help.
Yeah.
Hey, family counseling, one-on-one counseling with a therapist. And I think that's kind of like a normal solution here in 2019. But you and I both know, back in the early 80s, that really wasn't an option. Then you couple
it was a
high profile family that are pro wrestlers. I mean, that just wasn't an option back in the 80s.
No, it was, you know, I think that it was the stigma about weakness, and that's just that old cowboy way. You talked about rubbing some dirt on it, you know, when you talk about the Roman.
Yep.
Like that's a true Texas philosophy, and not just a Texas philosophy, but this male ego machismo thing that's, you know, definitely got to be addressed. You have to be able to seek counsel and to get help. And even if it's just going talking to somebody that you know is a smart person and say, man, what do you think about this, man? I got a problem and I need to talk about it with somebody, but I don't trust everybody. And I know that you're a smart guy, you know, like, you know, it's okay to ask for help, guys.
It is. It's that old philosophy. And probably a lot of people will know this analogy. Like when I played baseball when I was younger, and I got beamed in the back or in the arm or in the leg. What did the coach always say?
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Walk it off. Now, you know, they probably would have somebody take a look at it when the game was over. But, yeah, back then, just walk it off. Walk it off. Get back in there. Get right back in there. And it's the same type of philosophy back then when it came to dealing with issues with family. And especially when you have three brothers that take their own life. I'm sure they look back. Kevin looks back on it now and said, I wish we were more open. I wish we had open dialogue. You know, I wish we were able to converse better. And then you, like you said, the pressures. And God bless, Mark, that you know that when your time comes, it's not going to be from stress. Because
no.
I think most people, that's not the way it's going to be. You know, like I know for myself, I suffer from ulcers. Why? From stress. Stress causes a lot of ails that we have. And then the pressures that must have been on those boys, knowing that their father was such a great and legendary wrestler. Now, I'm sure each and every one of them loved being a wrestler. I know a lot of people have written over the decades that they were forced into that. I think you've seen enough footage to know that they truly loved being professional wrestlers, but I'm sure there was a lot of pressure to be successful, especially when you look at the younger brothers like Mike and Chris. You know, Mike and Chris absolutely did not have the body types or the athleticism to step in the squared circle, but their last name was Von Erich, and I'm sure they felt the pressures of having to do so and be successful.
I mean, I'm not a Von Erich, but there were times where I would go to the arena and I knew that what I had done the day before or the week before, and I had to live up to what I did just the week before. Not to mention coming from I didn't come from a Hall of Fame wrestling family like the Harts or the McMahons, like one of those storied names. The pressure is immense to top what you did yesterday. And for them, imagine these guys going in the locker room. Everybody, when they walk in and people see their name on the card, they go, wow, the Von Erichs are here.
Yep.
Man, we gotta bring our standard up. So it's the Super Bowl for them every day. It's hard, guys. It is very, very hard to be able to go in and live up to the standard, especially if you have achieved greatness. It is beyond comprehension of how that feels. And when wrestlers go away for a while, and, you know, like, I'm so happy that Ronda Rousey is able to go away and start a family and, you know, just not wake up every morning under that intense stress. But there are guys see you, and they, when you come back, and they go, wow, man, you look great. Wow, look, no wrinkles in your face. You look all fresh and chipper. Wow, look at you. And that's because of the stress.
Yep.
You're away from that. And definitely guys that listen to the show, follow the program, you got a friend that is a wrestler, like, try your best to find some peace and solace because it's detrimental to your health.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
One of my all-time favorite wrestlers, Hall of Famer, the legendary Kevin Von Erich. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm just great. Alex, that's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with you and all you guys. Mark, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be able to sit here and talk to you today. And I'm going to tell you, they don't come out the music like that no more.
No. I don't know. It's not a while back. It was just, you know, we were looking for the mood. You know, we wanted that, the way rock music has that excitement, that crash, and it was perfect for it. We'd hit the door, and the people were right there with us, you know. It was great. It was so natural.
You know, one of the things that stood out in the documentary was I love the fact that you were walking in the field and the ducks were following you. I don't know if I smiled harder in my life than watching you walk across that field with those ducks following you.
I know, Mark. I know. I remember you and I were talking before about a Hall of Fame show they had back in 2009 before I went in. And we were talking about how people in the South, it's almost like we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. You know, we kind of, you know, want to blend in kind of, you know, but it's with a job like this, it just doesn't happen. But I do remember our talk, and I sure had a good talk with you that day.
Yeah, I remember it, and you're one of the most mellow, down-to-earth people for as famous and popular as you have been in your life that I ever met. And I came away from that going, wow, man, like, there's some good ones left.
Oh, man, thank you, Mark. I feel the same way about you, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
And I would think, and you've been a guest, Kevin, on this show many times throughout our 10 years that we've been on the air. But I'm sure lately, especially with Dark Side of the Ring coming out, I'm sure your phone's been buzzing over the last couple of days.
It's still the truth. I've kind of been ignoring it a little bit because, you know, I appreciate all the love. I sure love the people that have this feeling for me. And how can some you not love people that love you? I feel the same way, man. I just want to hug everyone. I really do. It's just, but I'm telling you, it's, you know, it is a tough life. I mean, we have tough decisions we have to make, and we have to pull through sometimes, and we have to gut up. And this is one of those times that I was called on to do it. And there are other people out there that I'm sure that have the same situation, not the same, but situations like that confronting them right now. And just know this, you put all your heart into it, do your best, and trust God. And that works for me, and I'm sure it will for you, too. I just hope that my story can help some other people, like so that it's a benefit to, to the world.
Sorry, I wanted to touch this. This just hit me with, like, a ton of bricks. I watched the interaction with you and your sons, and do you tell them that you love them as much as you can, or, you know, and did you get told that you were loved by your dad and mom every day?
Well, Mark, I'm one of those lucky ones. You know, I did, you know, we Texas, we, I guess we don't talk like that. You know, my dad, we didn't, like, tell each other we loved them. I know he loved me, though. I mean, he would just, he would go 100% for me. And it was never, he was so selfless when it came to his sons. And Mark, I'm like that. I love my sons. I love them, but I tell them all the time, yeah, you take, when you're a young man, you take what you learn and you leave the good, you leave the bad and you take the good. And so I learned from my youth, you know, what I wanted to take with me for my children and what I wanted to leave. And now I tell them I love them all the time. I kiss them. I want to live every minute and love every minute. I want ever to do my very best. And because this is, you know, it's like we have 100 years. We all have a lifetime to learn this. You know, do your best. Enjoy it. This going fast. You know, enjoy it while you can. I wish I could tell everybody.
You know, Kevin, when Mark and I were talking before the show and we were talking about the documentary we watched last night, and you shared that story that, you know, you're at the gun store and you put the gun in your pants and you're stealing the gun. And then you kind of gave a look to that man behind the counter, like, you know, what are you looking at? And he responded with, you know, I love you, Kev. And then you walk out to your car and just hearing those words in your head, you had to come back and give that gun back and give him a hug. And man, Mark and I were talking, and it's like, what if he never said those words to you? You know, like if he never had that response to you and you got into that car and you drove away, I mean, who knows? We probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
I know. I've thought about that a million times. And you know, when that old man, I walked out of that store, I stole that gun. I walked out of there. I wanted to make sure he saw me. And I walked out there and he said he loved me. And all those old men in there, they were, you know, some were my age, but there's some old men in there. You could tell old country men, you know, and it wasn't a sissy kind of thing, but it was like, Kev, everybody here, everybody loves you, Kev. You know, you keep fighting, boy. And we had a little prayer together. And I didn't know any of these guys. They knew me, I guess, but it was just, if that hadn't happened, I don't know. But I knew that I am loved and I'm surrounded by people like this, that it's easy for you to see the dark and not see the light. But there is good out there, and there were people that were loving for me and pulling for me. And like that old man and those brothers and those guys in that store, it was just like I needed that to remind me that this is Texas and we do love each other. And man, it was just, God is there, man. He's there. Just keep your eyes open, because this world sometimes seems like it's too hard, but it's not. It's geared up for exactly what you've got. He won't give you too much. He won't give you more than you can handle. Just trust it, because we have one life to learn it. You know?
Yeah, God is definitely good. And, you know, I always look at it like sometimes we're chosen to be the example that you can fall into adversity, and we could have the problems of the world, but still God will bring you out of them. And yes, yeah. I think that's kind of what I'm learning from you, is you went through some unbelievable, I mean, biblical misfortune, and still God favored you. And anybody that's, you know, that has a strong belief and loves the word will look at your story and go, man, look at the grace that he has. And if he's got it, then I know I should have it. I mean, like,
yeah, right, Mark.
You're a blessing.
Yeah. Man, I so agree, Mark. I'm glad that's your take, because that's mine too. That is mine too.
You know, Kevin, you've had such an influence on people, and, you know, and listen, obviously a lot of people are going to want to talk about your struggles and your brothers and your loss. But I also want to make this interview about some of the positives that have come out of your career, the inspiration that you were to so many different people. I mean, it's really hard, and Mark and I have tried to do this over the course of the show today, is really...
Yeah, that's great. That's what I want to hear, because it is a story of restoration, not just a story of a bad day, of a guy that, you know, that went south, because it wasn't
that perseverance.
Yeah, and now this is more beautiful than the blessing itself. I'm telling you, the restoration. I have all my children with me out here, and the way they all see, we all live on one 27-acre farm out here, and there are, you know, houses for all of them, but it's like they take care of me. All the kids take care of me, and like, they cook for me, they clean that, they do everything. they live by themselves, you know, but it's love. It's like we live like Hawaiians lived 1,000 years ago. I think a village is like a family, you know, and that's what we throw the net in the ocean. We with a casting net, we fish, they hunt pigs, they do everything. It's just natural, and it's such a great way to live. I'd be wrong to not see the great restoration, the beauty that this story ended with out here, and instead of just the sad part, you know.
I think one of the things that touched me the most and that I can't wait to get home and tell my kids is you said it takes a lot and it takes a man to live. Like, you know, it's easy to fold up and die.
And yeah, that's right.
Man, I'm that just touched me because it is hard to live. And it's sometimes you feel like, you know, the weight of this world is too much for me. Do you feel like if somebody would have been able to, you said you tried your best to get there for your brother, and it just that, you know, there was a communication issue and you couldn't get that message through. And
yeah.
I think that we need to reach out to our people more and tell them that we love them and tell them, like, you know what, I know it's hard, man, I'm going through it too, but you know, like, let's talk, man, call me, let's talk. And do you talk about mental health issues with people that you know, or did you get counseling from somebody that brought you to this understanding and awareness that you ended up with?
No, I didn't, Mark. I've always kind of just, I wanted to move to Costa Rica out in the jungle and just live, you know, anonymous. I wanted to just, that was my plan. I'd looking at property and I was going to go to Costa Rica, but with the kids, it wouldn't have been right. You have to learn Spanish. And then it's also you're guilty until proven innocent. And it's the opposite of America here. And so it just wasn't right. And then the banking, you know, I wanted to keep my money in America, and so finding the place out here was perfect. But yeah, Mark, it was a lot of time alone watching sunrises, just me alone with the sunrise and my God, and that's where I got my feet on the ground, Mark. I watch the sunrise. I'm waiting for it now. The sun comes up in about an hour, and I never miss. This is my quiet time. That's when I answer. I'll sleep on my question, and then the next morning during that sunrise, there's my answer. I have it every time, Mark.
Amen.
And Kevin, you just reminded me, I really want to thank you for like taking the time. I mean, because it is very, very early for you. It's just a little after 5 a.m, I believe. So the sun's not even up yet. So and you made this call. So we really appreciate that.
Oh, you bet. It's my pleasure. See, I wake up early. I always wake up early. I love to, as a matter of fact. And I'm watching. It's raining like crazy here right now. I'm just waiting. The sun's going to come. It's going to be probably a good red one. And so, you know, watch me on Twitter. I'll probably put a good sunrise picture on Twitter in just a little while.
Yeah, we'll definitely retweet that. And, you know, Mark mentioned your boys, you know, Ross and Marshall.
Beautiful, man.
And they looked absolutely tremendous. You know, I've seen them wrestle before. They're extremely talented. And do you see a little bit of yourself in the ring when you look at Ross and Marshall?
Man, that is the best part that I do. And now they just signed with a company called MLW, a wrestling company.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I love
nice.
MLW.
Yeah, well, I think they're – what do y'all think about those guys? I like them.
Man, I really love those guys. I'm actually going to do something with them here pretty soon, so hopefully I'll get to see your boys now.
Yeah, you will, Mark. Look them up. You're going to love them, Mark. They're good, solid – men, they're strong and they're not soft, weak. I mean, it's just, you're going to love them. I can't wait for you to meet them. Yeah.
Well, I know you're far away. You know what? I'll do my best. I'll make sure they have my phone number if they need anything over this way. If That's I can fine. Help them in any way, give me a call. And also, I want to get your address. Don't give it on the air right now, but when we get off the air, I want your address. I saw you smoking a cigar, and I have some really high-level Patrons for you.
Oh, good. Well, I got some Monte Cristos, and you come on over and let's smoke some. I got Monte Cristos and got some Cohibas, too.
So, oh, man. Man, I'm trying to give you some good stuff. You got stuff that's better.
Mark, think about that. Well, he's going to be smoking them while watching the sunset.
Oh, man. I envy you right now.
And also, too, we were talking earlier, Mark and I, about, you know, today's The Rock's birthday, and we're mentioning that. And your birthday's coming up, so if we don't get the opportunity to talk, happy birthday, Kevin.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, May 15th. How about that? But thanks a lot, man. I'm sure I'll have a good one.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Just a few more questions, because I know you got to get through this rain, and you got to watch the sun. You got a lot to do today, Kevin, and we don't want to keep
you. I'm a busy man.
Hey, you're a busy man. you got, you know, there's ducks that are waiting to follow you as you're walking and stuff. There's a lot going on.
You got to get in this special chair up in the tree. That special chair up in the tree, man, that reminds me of my childhood.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, I grew up in southeast Texas on the border of Texas, Louisiana. We had some swamp, like, vines and stuff like that. And you wouldn't think that a tree limb or some vines can support your weight. But, like, man, of course, maybe not now, but, you know, 200-pound kid, man, we sit in those trees all the time. Like, it was a really good feeling.
Mark, I spent a lot of time in that Angelina Forest down there in southeast Texas on the Louisiana border, too. That's where my mother was born, in Pineville. I spent a lot of time
man,
down there.
Pineville, that's not far from Silsbee. Jasper.
No.
Man, that's right there.
Yeah. How about that?
Listen, you know, we're talking about your brothers, talking about your sons, you know, family and how tight. I got to be honest with you, Kevin. I couldn't do this interview without mentioning one family member that I got to be honest with you. I never really cared for, and I almost feel bad bringing this up, but I never liked your cousin Lance. We always had problems with your cousin Lance, Kevin.
Yeah, well, you're not going to have any trouble with me over that, buddy.
Like, how did they propose that to y'all?
Oh, well, you know, it was, me, Dave Curry, and my father, David Manning, you know, we were kind of the brain of the business, but we had a lot of people we dealt with, you know, a lot of people we listened to, I disagreed. My brothers disagreed. Even, I think David Manning and Dad agreed that they needed another Von Erich. We had never lied to people. I hated that. I never liked the idea about it at all. And just because Lance was a big muscular guy that did, you know, charity things, that wasn't enough. His heart wasn't there. He wasn't devoted. He wouldn't go all in. You know what I mean? I don't mean to cut him down because, you know, the kid did his best. I guess, you know, I don't have any. I'm not angry at the guy. Just such a disappointment. It was a disappointment, but I don't want to cut him down. You know. But yeah, you're right.
But it's hard if you don't believe in something, and it's happening, and you say, you know what, guys, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, and people go with it anyway, and then it fails. You know, you don't even feel good about saying I told you so. You're like, man, this didn't help us.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is the truth.
Now, usually this is the time when we break, Kevin, but you're too damn good of an interviewer. We're blowing out the next break. So I hope you have time to go a little bit longer here.
Well, that's cool. It's still dark here.
Okay, let's do it. A lot of fans on social media are reaching out, and they have a lot of questions. And the one question that keeps getting brought up is the Sportatorium. Can you give some thoughts and memories about how valuable that building was for not only world-class championship wrestling, but the Von Erich family?
Well, it was. It wasn't a great address. It wasn't that. It wasn't that a great night, because Friday night in Texas is football night. So it wasn't a good time. It wasn't a great building. It wasn't a great location, but it was happened to be perfect for wrestling. And evidently, Willie Nelson thought the same thing for music, and so did Elvis, because they both played that building. But Willie Nelson would only play that building. He loved Sportatorium like I did. He would only play that building for a long time in Dallas.
And
you know, Willie is a friend, too, and I'll tell you, he loves our business, and he loves our that building, and he's a good Texan.
Yeah, I live in Austin, and I see him every now and then, and is very rare that you run into somebody that's as famous as he is. And, you know, same thing with Mr. Gibbons and ZZ Top. Like, both of those guys. That Billy, like, he loves our business, man. Like, he really, really loves it. And every time he sees me, he walks up and give me a hug. And, you know, I feel honored to know him. And I feel special because I'm a part of this business. And he loves it so much. And it's cool to know. Now, the next time I see Willie, I'm gonna tell him that we're brothers in arms.
Oh, for sure. And when I play at North Texas, I played football up there, and Willie Nelson came in one night, and something about the TV, his T-shirts, you know, they wanted too much of a piece of it, and he was pissed off, and so he yelled out, "Where's the football coach?" And they thought he was going to cancel the show, you know. It's a packed house. And Willie comes up and said, "Where's my check?" And Coach Bauer had the check right there in his pocket, and he handed it to Willie, and Willie's all pissed off. But he tore that check up and shook Coach Bryce's hand, told him to have a great season. Man, we all love that guy after that.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a great one. Yeah.
Man, you know, a lot of people don't realize how great athletes y'all were and how good football players. And, you know, I know your brother is still one of the top 10 discus throwers in Texas history.
Yeah,
I told my wife yesterday, I was like, I'm going to do my best to keep this as light as possible, because with all the heartache and with all the pain, y'all were some special, special people in Texas. And I wanted to bring light to that. Like, what was the furthest throw that he made? I'm like eighth all time in Texas with 168.5. And yeah. Did he throw like 177 or 181?
No, Marshall threw 177. Dad's record was 164, but Terry threw 205.
Whoa! 205, yes. He's number one.
Yeah.
Number one all time in Texas history in the discus. And I was like, man, this is crazy. You know, like that damn discus punch would put you on your ass.
Yeah, he was, you know, we never did like bodybuilding, or I didn't. I think Kerry did, yeah. But when it comes to body, I never wanted to look strong. I wanted to be strong. I went for wrestling. And so I never really body sculpt, they call it bodybuilding. I never did that. Because it's for looks, you know. I wanted to be the best wrestler I could. And I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to make sure I never got tired in the ring. And I was always in condition. But I wanted to make sure I did it right. You know, anything you do it 100%, and that's the return you'll get. And following that, you know, formula, my dad beat into my head, you know, that's the right way to be, and I beat into my son's head. Anything you do it with all you got, and that's the return you'll get, 100%. So,
you know, Kevin, when I first started watching you wrestle, and I don't know if this is true, I always wondered if it was Jimmy Snuka an influence on you just by, you know, the style of wrestling you had, the you know, you wrestled barefoot. Was Jimmy Snuka an influence on your wrestling career?
He sure was. Jimmy was a good friend, and we were wrestling together and all that. When I hear all this about the 1980s and the murder thing, I don't believe it. I really just can't believe it. I knew Jimmy during all that time, and that was the opposite of Jimmy Snuka. I can't believe what I'm hearing about that. But, you know, people know more than I do, but I love Jimmy. I thought he was just great. And know this, though. Back then, when Jimmy was wrestling boots, you know, I didn't take my boots off because of Jimmy. It was just that, I needed that. My light feet. I wanted to be lighter with the wrestling boots get so heavy with the sweat and the socks, you know. But Jimmy Snuka, I love the way he moved. He was he didn't waste motions. He's like that. If you're the old timer Argentina Rocco, or he was like that. He didn't waste motions. He was really a good athlete. A good he used his head. He was smart. He didn't waste emotions is kind of, I don't know, that's not a good descriptive word, but that's kind of the only one I can come up with. It's just, he was efficient. You know, I just really looked up to him.
And a professional dancer.
He was?
Yeah, he was a professional dancer and then came into the wrestling world when he was in his mid-20s.
Who, Rocca?
Yeah, Argentina Russia.
Wow.
And one of my favorite reads, like, you know, you hear, and we were talking about Lou Thesz last night, and Jerry Briscoe didn't know I was such a fan of Lou Thesz. And Lou Thesz talks about Argentina Roca in his book, The Hooker, that he was a dancer and he came into wrestling and he ended up being a better wrestler than he was a dancer. And guys tried to take advantage of him sometime. And that's when they would call him and they would call Lou Thesz or they would call Danny Hodge and they would straighten the situation out. And then Roca would get the title back, and they go back home. And I love those stories, man, just like, you know, the history of wrestling. And it's one of the reasons why we love the Von Erich family so much is the history is so rich. And I'm just happy that y'all are from Texas because we get to claim the best wrestling family of all time. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you.
I thought I hit a button.
No. you might have hit a button, but you know, but hearing Mark say that listen, I'm from Jersey. You know, I grew up watching World Class Championship Wrestling. Thank goodness for cable TV that I was able to watch it in Jersey. But obviously, when it comes to pro wrestling, because of the Von Erich family, there is that mystique around the great state of Texas.
Well, Texas, it seems like it's made for wrestling. Remember West Texas State out there? I'd had your Tully Blanchard and your Kelly Kaniski and the Funks. There are some great names came out of West Texas State, too. It's just Texas is a great wrestling state.
Unbelievable. Is there one opponent, and you had some amazing feuds in your career, King Kong Bundy, Gino Hernandez, Chris Adams. I mean, the feud with Chris Adams was off the charts, and that match at the Cotton Bowl was unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Is there one opponent that stands out above all the others?
There are so many. I wouldn't want to leave any out, but I can remember my old days, guys like Archie Baker and guys like Big John Studd and Will Brody, Jerusalem Brody, but I mean, there were some really good names that I hate to overlook because guys that were, you know, we had really good names down here. Andre the Giant, he came to my football games when I was in high school. He's a family friend, you know, and Andre was just, Texas was like the place, you know, in Texas. Mark, now that you're from Texas too, now we can say it, man. Texas, baby, that's the way it goes. That's the number one state for wrestling, right?
That's right.
There you go. And now I know the Hearts up there in Calgary. They got something. People, you know, we grew up with them too when we were kids, and I look up to those guys too. But maybe in MLW, they can move on. And I mean, I think, Mark, I really think wrestling's at the cusp of a great day. I really do, Mark. My son's loving it.
I do too. The numbers
there. This Pillman Jr. Have you seen that kid?
I have.
All these athletes, Mark. They're hungry like we were when we were kids. I can't wait to see how this comes out.
Wow. I'm going to do everything I can. When we get off the air, I'll make sure that I get y'all information.
And Mark, maybe you can get me a ticket that I can come see it, maybe, you know?
Well, look at Dave. Look at Dave. Dave is always trying to get a free ticket. Like, go and support the business, Dave. Spend the $12.
All I'm saying is that I have to go as a member of the media and report what I see, Mark. That's all. I can at least expense it, right, on my taxes at the end of the year.
Get you a ticket, and then we'll get you a backstage
pass. All right, last thing, and Kevin, thank you so much for the time. But we had Michael Hayes on as a guest last week, and Michael Hayes was absolutely tremendous. And, of course, we talked a lot about his feud with you and the Von Erichs. Just a thought or two in common about Michael Hayes.
God bless that guy. He's the guy that's all in. Michael Hayes lives his – Michael is – he's one of the best. I can't say enough good things about the guy. He's just he pours his heart into it, and God bless Michael Hayes. Hope he's happy up there.
All right, so awesome. We're going to get me, Mark, and Kevin Von Erich watching MLW wrestling together. Thank you for the invite.
It's going to happen.
Thank you for the invite, Mark. I appreciate it. Kevin, this has been absolutely a pleasure. This has been a treat for our fans as well. And I'm glad we're able to make it a little positive as well. There's so much positivity coming out of this interview today, and we truly appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Alex. I've enjoyed it just like I did last time, and it was so good to talk to you again, Mark.
See, Mark, he doesn't even know. Mark, he doesn't even know my name. All he cares about is talking to you. Alex is the producer. I'm Dave. That's all right.
Dave, we love you, Dave.
I was chasing Bart.
He was chasing the hug.
I was chasing the hug, Kevin. It's okay. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.